Hey, welcome back to another HVAC Success Secrets Revealed with Thaddeus and Evan. Today we've got on America's Service Sales Coach in Joe Crisera. Fantastic conversation today, diving into all topics around what's new with Service MVP and the exciting developments that they've got going on there, the exciting improvements that they've got going on there, and how this can really help home service businesses. Thad, what was your favorite part of this episode?
We went lengthy on AI, and there's a bunch of offshoots that I really like, but really looking at it in, first off, will it replace us? But also, how can we not dumbify ourselves when it comes to utilizing AI in dumbify? I know, maybe I should run that through AI to see if that's actually a word or not. Stupidification. Okay. We talked about a little bit about that and how to not be a victim of that in terms of using AI. I thought that was a great topic. Joe, how about yourself?
Yeah, I think your ego is not your amigo. Feed your ego or feed your wallet. The biggest self-inflicted wound in the history of humanity are people who need help or are afraid to ask for it because they feel it'll make them look bad. Make sense? Here's what I could tell you. To go along with that, release your need to be accepted, accept yourself, and don't worry about what other people think about you.
I loved all of that part of the conversation, and it really went along with the idea of why is it that we resist change? Why do human beings love the status quo versus going after something bigger? And we touched on all of that, which was fantastic. And the other part that I really loved was when, Joe, you specifically talked about how to get more buy-in from your team, and you need to explain this one thing to them first before you explain what to do. And I love when we talked about that. So make sure you listen to that part of the episode, but we want to hear from you as well. So leave a comment down below. What was your favorite part of this episode, and enjoy the show.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of HVAC Success Secrets Revealed with Thaddeus and Evan, where we have good conversations with good people, and any good conversation worth having is worth having drunk, even with a nice distorted Evan. So cheers, my friend.
Cheers, dude.
Uncle Joe Crisera. Man who really doesn't need much of an introduction into this podcast or the space, really. He's phenomenal at what he does. Giving people a master's degree in service is what they end up doing, but not just like when you think about service of being in the customer's home and doing work on the units. No, everything, right? They have their total immersion 3 weeks every single day, where it teaches the leaders, the management, the office, the field, everybody individually, and then they graduate into mains programs. Just phenomenal what they do there. They actually have over 18 coaches now, so really growing, really strong in terms of their business. One thing that I really like what they're doing, though, is the work that they're doing in AI, and specifically with Amanda Triolu, Brianna Skiffington, and CXC, and what they've got on the go there. Just phenomenal shit in terms of disrupting the trades and bringing an insane amount of value forward. I love it. I really want to get into AI, but one of the topics that I really want to get into, though, is will it replace us?
Ooh, that's going to be a fun conversation. Also, just diving into coaching in general, choosing a coach, picking a coach, the ethics behind working with vendors and things like that. I think that's going to be a great conversation. And let's face it, it takes one hell of a personality to earn the title of America's Service Sales Coach. So I'm excited to have Uncle Joe back on the show again today.
And of course, today's episode would not be possible without our sponsors in no particular order: Chirp, Elite Call, and On Purpose Media. Chirp, help transform your service business with Chirp, the ultimate automation toolbox to capture more leads, connect instantly, and skyrocket sales. It actually integrates seamlessly with things like ServiceTitan House Call Pro, offers automated text, emails, ringless voicemails, boosting your Google reviews, customer loyalty, rehash programs. It goes on and on. Schedule your demo with them, and guess what? You can get 25% off your first 3 months by chirp.com/H.
And we have Elite Call. Elite Call is a US-based call center champion for the home service industries. For over 20 seasons, Elite Call has been outbounding clients' databases, filling dispatch boards with lucrative service and sales opportunities, boosting memberships like no other. Their dedicated teams don't just make calls, they directly integrate appointments into your CRM, giving you a seamless experience. Don't let your competition get ahead. Let Elite Call connect with your customers first. Visit EliteCall.net to learn more.
And last but certainly not least, On Purpose Media. You can enhance your presence online with On Purpose Media, your go-to home service marketing expert for everything web design, SEO, PPC. Stunning user-friendly websites, check mark. Increased visibility in search engines, also a check mark. Targeted traffic through pay-per-click, yep. You got it. So turn your online presence into a lead generation powerhouse. Visit onpurposemedia.ca. Today, we actually only have the marketing analysis one up there. So, hey, onpurposemedia.ca/marketing-analysis if you want a marketing analysis done on your business. So without further ado, we'll be back with Uncle Joe.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to HVAC Success Secrets Revealed, a show where we interview industry leaders and disruptors, revealing the success secrets to create and unleash the ultimate HVAC business. Now your hosts, Thaddeus and Evan.
Uncle Joe.
I was going to say, I really like those readouts. It's a wonderful thing on what AI can help you with.
It's amazing. It's amazing how it actually puts a sentence together that sounds really good, actually. And let me start by saying, before we do anything, I want to thank Chirp. I would like to thank Elite Call and our sponsors at On Purpose for making this possible. Thank you so much. And thanks to you, too, for inviting me back. I appreciate it for the fourth time. It's overdue. I can hardly wait to get back here. I'm magnetically drawn back. So thank you for inviting me.
Hey, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Let's dive right in. There's a lot of different directions go. Yeah. I want to dive into what's new at Service MVP, because you guys have been making some radical shifts. We've had on some of your coaches in the past. We had on Michael and Shreya. They both joined us. We've had on Shreya herself. We've had you on four times now. What's new? What's exciting at Service MVP?
Actually, our Service MVP app, which is the highest performing world-class e-learning platform in the universe. Seriously, we searched, anybody here who has tried to look into e-learning, you all know how much it made your brain hurt. And when you're going around in circles trying to find something, this has this piece, this has this piece. We developed our own from the ground up and made our own platform. E-learning, it manages e-learning, it manages events, it manages our Zoom meetings. Everything is under one platform. And that's really been the centerpiece of the biggest change that happened since late last year, since about October. That has made everything else possible we're doing. The things that we're doing that are different are a guided coaching experience where our coach does a kickstart with the whole team to begin with. The whole company gets 1 hour meeting with our coach. And then we break into separate groups, office, field, and leadership. Everybody goes through a 3-week training experience with our team, graduates on week 4, and we test them and graduate them like leaders. We give them a certain problem, like people coming in late or a guy's not getting his paperwork done or keeping his truck neat. We say, guide and coach your person back on track. The office people to prioritize calls and to dispatch the 15 golden rules of dispatch. We test them and train them on that, and they graduate there. And then the field staff, both the installers, service techs, and the salespeople are all tested as well by the communication level they do. And then after that, we have a mastery training that continues every month, another graduation on a new subject, how to connect with people for 1 month, or how to do maintenance calls the next month, how to do lead turnovers the next month, how do you get people create interest and desire the next month. So it's an ongoing mastery training that we're so proud of, and that really is impossible to copy. If somebody tried to copy it, they'd be copying what we did last year, not this year. And then on top of all that, we are now incorporating the AI. Amanda Triolo and I and Brianna Skiffington and all the people at Ad Leverage have put together a program that is going to have definable benchmarks. It'll tell you when your guy's in the field, like the occurrence, how many times did your technician use the customer's first name. It'll tell you that. It'll tell you how many did your guy introduce himself properly. Did he even say his own name, right? These kind of things. Some hidden things that most people don't realize. AI is something that's out there, but most people don't know how to use AI. And that's what we've already made the vision as to how you're going to use this in the most appropriate way. So it's something that supports the team, not something that comes off as Big Brother looking at the team. Makes sense? Like the team sees the immediate help that they get from AI, just like you guys do when you wrote that intro on AI. Most likely, you're not going to lie. You want to write that paragraph about Chirp and all those things, or you want to just go on AI and say, tell us something good about it?
In this case, in like Chirp and Elite Call and even us, I had bullet points. And so here's a good thing too, is like, how can you, ChatGPT, it can't do your work for you yet, but it can help with your work. And that's where you like those bullet points, and I fed it out and I'm like, I didn't like it, change this. Didn't like it, I'll change this. Until it's there, I'm like, I'll throw a human element into it too, right?
Write a friendly paragraph about this benefit of Chirp. That's really the cool part, right? Is that you could sit there and write the friendly paragraph and have about 10 spelling mistakes and things like that. And then, or it can do it and it's perfect. That's a good part about it. I think that's how we have to all look at it. Like, AI is the new support mechanism of 2024, that we ought to look at it as a support foundation, not something that's there to do it for us, but something to help us do it better. Make sense?
Yeah, it's taking shortcuts and being able to, in the use cases that you're bringing in, it's being able to analyze things that you would never be able to analyze unless you were running calls with every single technician every single time.
I'll tell you a funny story. My son, who's 14 years old, he's in high school. He's at Venice Beach High School down here in California. And the teacher, his English teacher, is like, "All right, guys, we're going to ask you to write this essay. Now, no using AI. Just so you know that." And my son raised his hand. He said, "How are you going to read? We have 32 of us in this class. How are you going to read 32 essays? Are you going to use AI, or are you going to read them all yourself?" And she said, "All right, you can use little AI if you need." Because he called her out. He's like, "How is she going to grade 32 papers?" And he said it to her. And then she's like, "All right, you can use AI a little bit. Just don't do the whole thing with AI." She modified it. So it's interesting how the teachers are like, "Hey, don't use AI." It's like back when we were kids in high school. Don't use a calculator. But what are you going to do? Sit there and add up all this stuff on your own? Or are you going to make sure that you have the answer? You cheated to have the answer code. Why can't we have the way to find that answer? So truthfully, I think we have to look at education a little bit different. Like, we think that AI is not going to think for you. But here's what I found, guys. I'm not sure if you found this. I find myself strangely smarter because of AI. Like, it says things that I'm like, "Holy shit, I never would even have thought of that." And I'm like, "You know what? I'm now going to keep that." Like, it implants it in my brain. And once it's in my brain, you know how Uncle Joe is, it never goes away. It's like now locked in. And so I have become probably 30% more intelligent since I used AI, let's put it that way. Because I just think that it gives me new ideas or new paradigms and a way of looking at something that I never would have looked at it, because it made the paragraph in a way that I never would have thought of. I'm like, "Yeah, I got to start writing all my paragraphs that way, even without AI." Does that make sense here, guys?
If you actually take it and start writing your things that way, and you put the knowledge into your memory and your knowledge bank to be able to do that. But some people might just get lazy, right? And so going back to your 14-year-old, your example with the 14-year-old, okay, using homework, right? And that, and AI, at what point, and this is potentially off the trades topic, talking as a larger sphere, leveraging and letting individuals use AI to think for them. How do you draw that line? Where does that line in the sand become? Like, I got a 2.5-year-old and a 10-month-old. Who knows what AI is going to be like when they start learning, right? But if we forget the part of learning how to learn, is that a potential hindrance with AI in our children?
Well, I guess we have to look at it two ways. One, sometimes we feel like we have to build something from the ground up, like when we learn how to speak and use vowels and consonants and verbs and things like that. We could learn the fundamentals of English or whatever from that direction, building it from the ground up, I call it, right? There's another way of it's all finished for you, and now you're looking at a finished product. You can see when the pieces are out of place, and then you can question it. What is that when that word is wrong? Oh, that's missing a verb. That's what they're trying to do. Oh, now you learn it from that direction. So I believe that the human mind is complex and can learn things from many different directions. It's like for me, when they learn stuff at a trade school in HVAC, when they tried to explain it in school books about how a transformer, gas valve, and the burners, how the electrical circuit worked, it was on paper and I seen it drawn on a paper. And no matter how I saw it on paper, when I saw it in real life, it looked different. Once somebody told me that, "Here's what it looks like in real life, and here's how you know something's wrong. This wire is the problem right here. See how you just troubleshooted it?" Ah, then the paper made sense. So the school learning they give us sometimes doesn't make sense until we actually use it in real life. And I think that's what AI does. It takes the ideas and uses it in real life and allows us to backward engineer it so we learn that way instead. Does that make sense? To me, I think it's a faster way to learn. I think it's a more efficient way of learning. And I really feel humankind will be way smarter about a lot of things, how to manage conflicts, how to manage your relationship with your own spouse and your family. There's things that you'll have ideas. Like, sometimes we're just tongue-tied. What do I say to my wife about, what can I do for my wife? I've done this before. What can I do for my wife for her birthday when she already has everything? And then it went to an emotional contribution. So if she has everything, then you can do things that are not, don't do tangible, do intangible things. And it gave me a list of things I could do intangibly. It's brilliant. And I came off like the genius when I did them, right? And it was like, "Holy shit, Joe, you got way more thoughtful than you were before. What the hell happened?" So even that part of it, AI can reason in that way to help you find intangible things that normally we would have said, because we can program it to look for those things, right? To help it with that. And I think if you prompt it the right way and everything like that. But going back to that, guys, our training, our live training now for the total immersion, we have an AI monitor that tells people around the screen if you pass or fail. So we teach you all week long how to do the program. Then you go through a test, a role play for the whole call from start to finish. And it tells you what your grade is and what you missed and what you could do better on. We give the student that thing to work on so when he goes home. And then we also give the students the CXC that Amanda and Brianna have developed with our benchmarks in it. And it actually can listen to the call and let our coach know. We meet once a week after that training. It lets our coach know what improvements are needed so we can practice. We know what to practice on. Because think how inefficient it was before, guys. A guy would come to a class all week. He'd go back home and said he's doing everything perfect. And then we'd believe him. And then he fails 2 weeks from now. Then we say, what's going wrong? He goes, I don't know what's going wrong. I can't figure it out. I'm doing everything perfect like I was the first week. Then we have to prod and poke for 2 hours while we figure it out. Now we're going to figure out what's wrong even before something happens negative. And that's the cool part that Amanda has developed with us and with our benchmarks. That part of it there is to know how things are going to fail before they fail and anticipate that and start working on something before it goes wrong. Does that make sense, guys? To prevent the fire. And that's what we're doing in the field class. And the office staff are doing the same thing where it monitors the scripting and the, are you answering the phone call the right way? Are you finding out the customer's first names, the address, and what all the data points we're trying to get is all letting it's monitoring that part. On our call-by-call coaching, it finds out if what words the client is commonly using when they talk to the technician so that the salesperson can use those exact words and phrases when they present solutions to people. It's really mind-blowing. Some of the, it was a counterintuitive ways that AI will help us perform better in the field that is just, it can't even explain it really to so many different ways. But it's in every single one of our training now, and it's hardwired into it starting in February, and we're ready to roll on this thing, and it's going to be an amazing future. I've never been more excited about the future than I am right now today, seriously.
I'm curious. So taking it to the AI in the training and listening to the training and giving feedback on there, have you noticed specific trends in, we can even break it down to leadership, management, office, and field, each one individually. Have you noticed specific trends that businesses are always needing to work on that others should take note of?
Yeah, I think one thing overall is the inappropriate, what do you call it? Information security. Giving out information at the wrong time when it doesn't make a difference. Technician going to a call and saying, hey, I'm at this maintenance call. Would you like to buy? I'd recommend you get a humidifier. It's only going to be $700, which is the wrong. When did he bring that up? Did he bring it up after the customer asked for that? Or did he bring it up trying to sell it to people, right? So the key thing is that it's better to do the whole diagnosis and maintenance and then make up the solutions and tell people the problem and then bring up the price at the end. So giving the price at the right time is an important element. So what's the whole cycle? Number one, just make a friend with a client. Number two, diagnose the whole system. Number three, document the problems. Number four, document the solutions with the prices. And then number five, tell people the problems and the solutions and the prices together at the end. So one of the biggest mistakes I see watching is that technicians commonly getting into the prices and trying to sell things before they've even diagnosed things. Does that make sense? I'd recommend you get a new Wi-Fi thermostat for this thing. It's still, you haven't even seen the furnace yet. How do you know if that's even going to work on that thing? It's like the furnace might have a cracked heat exchanger. You're trying to sell a Wi-Fi thermostat? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't even, they're so off code. So we see people inappropriately getting stuck on one thing that their company's trying to get them to do, and they're blind to other things that are being hidden in plain sight. And I think that's true for the office staff. And I think it's true for leadership too. I think the management teams, because we actually have AI in the leadership training too, where you can say, we have a thing called A growth, which is how do you coach people the right way to get them to do what you want them to do? Where we make your idea their idea. So there's a method of doing that, which AI now recognizes. And if you start pushing your people or trying to tell them what to do or trying to force them to do it, then you're going to have temporary results. They're going to do it, but they're not going to have sustained success, right? We've got a method called A growth, which sustains that success. And if you have the problem is everybody tells people what they want them to do, but they forget the key important thing, which is tell people why it would benefit them if they did it. So if you're a manager, you should be telling people the reason why it's important that you do the thing I'm trying to get, keep your truck clean, get all your tools in the right order, come here on time. What's the benefit for you? What's the benefit for the team? So here's what I want you to do at the end, not at the beginning. Most management goes right to the beginning and tells people what I want you to do without giving the reason why it's important. Does that make sense? So AI will help people specifically with the timing of the information, which is really a counterintuitive thing most people wouldn't even think of. They just think, what? It's just going to tell us the words to use. Dude, I think we can all come up with words, but the timing of those words is what AI is going to really help you with. Is it'll tell you, now it's not the, wait until you get this information until you present this information. Make sense? So the timing is really, if people got the timing of the information correct, everybody's sales would increase like 3 times like overnight. If they just gave the, if you, somebody said, hey, how much does it cost to get your services? You guys, if you start just throwing a price out there to build a website and do it about 20,000, holy shit, no way. But if you told me everything you're doing first and tell me why it was important we do it and then gave me the price, it would make a sense. Make sense, sir? So I think the same thing is true of every business, not just the service business.
First off, I want to say 20K for a website and then the plumbing and HVAC space is way too much money. Even hitting margins, even profit first.
You didn't say it was 20 grand. We all know it's way more than that, but it's okay. It's not the website. It's the promotion of the website. It's the other service that's not the website. It's the things that are, the website's the easiest thing to build. It's the making the website work. Convert. That's the part that costs the money.
We can let Uncle Joe start selling us some 20K websites.
Oh, hell yeah. We would sell that shit. We'd knock that out of the park for you. You guys would be the easiest thing to sell. I can't believe you're even saying that.
Functionality.
A dream for anybody.
We like to take care of people and we don't like to take it for more than it's worth. We'll put it that way.
While respecting our profit, that's the other part, right? And so like...
Revenue is vanity. Profits is sanity. There you go.
Okay, wait a second. Here comes the sound bite. Let's imagine we were in business to make a profit. Because profit is the thing that allows us to serve our employees, our customers, our vendors, our family, and ourselves. Without profit, we are stealing from one person to pay somebody else something else from some. We're taking from the vendor, taking from our family, and giving it to other people when we don't have a profit. So without profit, we become thieves, and we start stealing from one category to give to another category. And nobody feels good about yourself when you're talking about how successful you are, but you're not making a profit. You're robbing your own self-esteem if you don't make a profit. That's how important profit is. So that's where I draw the line on it. Nothing I could say more than that.
There you go.
It's a 22-43.
Uncle Joe's rant about profit. I know, Evan, you want to go somewhere, but you are right in terms of profit. So like people might be looking, okay, this AI is going to cost, you're talking 20K websites, but no, work it backwards, right? Have a profit first mentality. Know what you want to do and then work your numbers backwards. Obviously, we can get into the financials part later. It's a key thing that you're not in business to be an accidental nonprofit.
Exactly. I completely agree with that.
Yes.
Charging what it costs to do a great job is in the customer.
Correct.
Everybody's. It's like if you're building a website that you didn't get enough money or resources and you wind up doing something that couldn't be sustained for that contractor. And then I always say I'd rather turn you down than let you down. So when it comes to people who are trying to get me to go for a lesser price, listen, if I could have done this thing cheaper or less money, I would have. Because truthfully, I'm not in this for money. I'm in this to help people first. And then money is something that's a natural thing that happens when you do provide value. That's really what it comes down to. So I don't create what it takes. The reality of doing business creates what the prices are. I don't make up prices. There's a reality of doing business that costs money, and that's what it costs. And then making a profit is there so I can be generous to my community, my family, my employees, and my coworkers, and even the public who need my help. I give a lot of free help to people. So many people start out for free with me. I have a list of people I can mention by name that have started out for free and turned into multimillionaires because I wanted them to get started on the right track.
Love it. So when it comes to this topic of AI and having essentially that coach in your back pocket who's walking you through when to present options, so if you're a technician, as a manager, when to bring up certain ideas, what elements to coach on, does it start to take away, coming back to what Thaddeus said earlier, does it start to take away that critical thinking component of being a human being and making mistakes, learning from it and improving if we're relying on it too much to tell us when to say and what to say?
But what I have found is it creates a new standard for me. If I'm writing something, I write it and I start to challenge myself to say, would this meet the standard? Is this better than I would have created with AI? Or do I need to run this through AI right now at this point? So I'll write something, a paragraph for something that I'm doing, and I'll say, even on Facebook. I'll write something and I'm like, you know what? I'm not getting my message. How can I shorten this message? And I do it. And then I'm like, okay, that's a new standard. So I think what AI does, it creates a new standard for our human minds to live up to that standard in a way. It makes sense. And I think if there's no aspiration as to what, like if you look at pro football today, it's like the standard of throwing a football in a certain spot to a receiver's hands is so much better than it was back when I grew up in the 70s. The receiver had to be wide open to catch the ball. Now people are catching the ball with an inch, a guy right on top of them. That's still, you're still not covered. So they've learned, quarterbacks have learned how to place the ball better and how to throw the ball in a place that the receiver can catch it, but their opponent can't. And it's inches or millimeters from being knocked down that pass, right? I think that's what happened. A certain standard, like Joe Montana set a standard, and then Peyton Manning set a standard. I think that's like AI. It's like Joe Montana, right? It's like, how's nobody ever drop a pass when he throws it? Well, he throws it right in their chest and their hands. He hits it right in the right target. And so younger quarterbacks learned what he did and they studied the mechanics and they became, I would say Joe Montana is now duplicated by a lot of modern quarterbacks. The guy from Houston and these new quarterbacks are just amazing. Jalen Hurts and people like that are just like on point when they throw a ball. Like they're way better than Joe, with more power than Joe Montana had. So I think AI is like Joe Montana. And as we learn, we're setting new standards. And that's why I think we got to think about that. Rather than thinking it's going to replace our intelligence, I think it creates a new standard for our intelligence to be able to comprehend the things it's actually communicating to us.
No, I love that. I've had a conversation with numerous people around fears or with AI. And at the end of the day, it's a tool. And how well you implement it is what's going to separate you from your competitors. It wasn't that long ago that people were arguing about never giving up their BlackBerry because they couldn't imagine not touching the buttons on their phone. Exactly. And iPhone came along and completely changed the game on that. Before that, it was TV and the internet, right? People thought the internet was just a hoax. It wasn't going to last. It wasn't going to stay around. It wasn't going to add value. Our lives would be completely different today if it wasn't for it. AI is just another thing that's come in and it's a new tool and the adoption of it is what has changed. The speed of implementation that we see today with a new tool is exponentially greater than what it was 25 years ago.
That's a good point, Evan. I don't think anybody thought when Kodak went out of business or when Blockbuster went out of business, that when streaming TV came, TV is going to go away. It wasn't the TV that it was just a better way and a more efficient way of getting the product onto our phone. And who'd have thought that we were able to broadcast our phone on a TV? Oh my God, we have to have the cable box. Well, now the cable box is just about obsolete. I'm like, right now, I'm like, why am I screwing over the cable box? I got to get rid of that thing. I'm on YouTube and got YouTube TV and things like that. So bottom line, I think that the medium, like AI is a certain medium that we're using. It doesn't replace communication. We're all going to need to communicate and hear and speak a certain way. But I think it just delivers it more efficiently. And I think it's not just a tool. I think AI does have the potential of becoming something that I can imagine today where you'll have glasses that will be able to read a sentence. Like you'll have a thought and you'll want to be able to do something and it'll just tell you the best thing you could say right now. That would get you the better result. I can imagine a day where that, it wouldn't even be maybe even glasses, maybe contact lenses that would project something out there that can see, because who knows what's coming, right? This is a great time to be alive because it's like when people found fire. It's like that right now. And it's like, how are we going to use fire? It's going to burn down the village. And it's going to heat our dinner so we don't have bacteria in the meat. That's what it's going to do.
Just imagine at that time when you've got a contact lens that you can put in and it's essentially a screen providing you information. Now you're on a service call and it's telling you what to diagnose on that piece of equipment.
Those who think AI is dangerous are just in denial. And I think it's here, right? So it's thinking that because it's like saying fire or electricity is just going to kill people. What is this witchcraft? Electricity? You can't see it, but it could shock people to death. Or no, it could be power a human heart and lung machine to save our life. Or to do this podcast without electricity wouldn't be possible. So we play. So what people don't understand is that humans have always found strange things that are things that we can't see, touch, or feel, like gravity. We found that when we fall down, and we can say that gravity could kill us if we fall off a mountain. Or gravity is really fun to use when we play basketball, because if you threw the ball up in the air, it wouldn't come back down without gravity. We couldn't play the game. So we learn humans have an innate ability to take things that are around us in the universe that are neutral. And I think AI is neutral. It doesn't have any goodwill or bad will. I think we learn how to play with those things and have fun with them. Makes sense. And I also think there are nefarious people who will learn how to use AI in a dangerous way too, in which we're going to find that out as well. So there are going to be some dangerous paths that it's going to take, but it's up to humankind to guide this inert data points or things that's going to do to guide it the way we want to guide it in a way that's ethical, moral, and all the rest of it. Makes sense.
There's been nefarious actors all throughout history, no matter what the technology is. And even before the technology, you're not going to change that innate human component of people doing that. But when the masses have to band together to be able to snuff some of that out.
Here's what I could tell you guys. I just read an interesting article about Socrates 2,000 years ago. He said human nature is like a chariot driver with two horses. The chariot driver is reasonable and wants to do things the right way. He's just logic and reason is the chariot driver. On the left-hand horse, we have two horses we're driving. The left-hand horse is the spirit horse who wants to do higher purpose and contribute to his community and do the value system. The other horse is the bad horse, the horse that wants to tell us, be lazy. Don't take those clothes back. You deserve more than that. How come they're not taking care of you? And all the negative thoughts we have, the ego, let's put it that way. If the chariot driver can't control the spirit horse, then we wind up over-involving ourselves with our community and not attending to our own family. That's not reasonable, right? And if we follow the bad horse and the bad horse is out of control, then we start doing negative things behind the scenes that we can't control because we let the bad horse take control of us, the chariot driver. So we are the chariot driver, the reasonable, logical person. If you didn't have the bad horse, we wouldn't be having bourbon on the air right now, right? A little bit of the bad horse is good. We got to have, without it, life is boring. Let's put it that way. We got to have a little bit of the bad horse, right? But we got to know when, okay, Evan, put the alcohol down. I think we've had enough, right? It's like, when you start slurring your words, it's like a podcast goes to hell. So it's like, the bad horse is good to have a little bit, and the spirit horse is good to have that too, the value systems and stuff we have. But guys, we can't crush people with our values. We can't overdo it either. We got to say, hey, there's a balance between the chariot driver able to rein in the horses and control the velocity that those animals are going that are inside of all of us, truthfully. If we all acknowledge it, we have to agree. There's a secret part of us that does things that are not good. We could do better. There's a part of us that has high aspirations and higher purpose. Sometimes we get too far with that. We have to rein that in. So our families are taken care of first. Ourself is taken care of. Our families are taken care of, our team. And then we can control those. If we can't control those two impulses, that's where we start. That's a really good stuff I read on that. I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Human nature and philosophy doesn't generally change. That's the thing about when you read old philosophers is that it's all the same shit. It's just a different time and age.
Yeah, I thought I was old, right? Not even close to 2,000 years.
When it comes to all of this, and I'm curious on your perspective on this, especially as someone who's a coach, human nature resists change and resists something that's new and disruptive in a lot of cases, which is where pushback comes in when it comes to radio going to television, horse and buggy going to cars, television going to the internet, going to AI. All of these changes in time, changes in technologies have been met with a tremendous amount of pushback and resistance from the vast majority of people. Why is it that people resist change so much? And what is it that helps them to break through and realize that this change is inevitable and that they need to accept?
That's good. That's interesting. I think status quo is the most comfortable place to be, right? Just where we are right now, if you've built a life that's comfortable, I think that is, I always say that comfort is the enemy though, right? So I think the people who are the most successful are good at manufacturing things in their mind that are coming after them in a way. Makes sense? Like when I see Victor Rancourt or I see Jason Walker or people like that, I don't think they're coming after me, but I'm like, I got to wake up every morning and stay at least online with them. If not, my goal is to get ahead of them. And I know Victor absolutely feels the same way. I know when he sees something I do, he's like, effing Joe, now we got to do something. He's having an event. We got to have an event. You know what I'm saying? So it's seriously, that is good for the public. You understand that? Because everybody's trying to be better and produce a better outcome. So the thing is, I think the people who are stuck, and which is, I think 95% of the population though is in that state you're talking about, Evan, which is comfortable with what they're doing now, and it's too risky to move on to something else. The people who are in that 5% never truly feel comfortable with what they have, because they don't try to possess something. They're trying to channel something and take a ride. They know the journey is what we're trying to do. The people who are 95% think they found the destination. Like, I'm finally able to retire and do retirement. To me, that is, the retirement could be good if your goal is to travel, have enough money to travel for the rest of your life and go out and do stuff, because now you can achieve what you wanted to achieve with your retirement. But if retirement means I don't have any plan, and people say, Joe, when are you going to retire? And it's, I just love what, this is my retirement. If I had a pinch, if I was like 40 years old and I had to pinch myself, like, Joe, here's what you'd be doing when you're 65. This is your retirement. I'd be like, hell yeah, this is a great retirement. This is exactly, because I love doing this. So
wait, you're 65?
Like, I'm 65 this year, last year in November. Yeah. So should I tell anybody that? So I'm a legitimate senior citizen. Saying that. I appreciate that. I am a couple days over.
You can never tell, because he's always got those AI generated images in all of his reels. So
there you go.
And you've got the touch up appearance on this app you're using for this podcast too. So I'd look better here too.
Evan has his turned up full bore. I only have minimal edits because I'm just radiating natural beauty. But no, one of the things, actually two things that I wanted to go on is competition breeds innovation, right? When you think about that, you're talking about you and Victor, you and Jason Walker and Victor and whatever, insert any other coach into that, you're right, bringing each other up in terms of that. But competition breeds innovation. But you think about Blockbuster, you used that earlier. Guess what Blockbuster had an opportunity to do is rival Netflix, right? So Netflix saw the dying model and they said, okay, let's innovate. And Blockbuster's like, online, not going to happen, right? And now look at them. They have one flagship store left in the entirety of the world, right? And it's still the original Blockbuster. But when you think about that, in that 95%, when I go back to the conversation that we had at the beginning, the complacency part of things, are they going to actually adapt? Are they actually going to think? Are they actually going to learn from it? The bigger part of the, like me, yep, Evan, yep, you, yep, a lot of the individuals listening to this podcast, yep, but the average everyday person, do you think that they're going to be able to learn and adapt their ways?
I would say everything always turns out perfect, Thad. Perfectly find your way to the destination that you guided yourself. If you guided yourself to stay in place and not do anything, then you have guided yourself at this destination. While the world keeps going on around you, then you're shocked at what's this? It's like being in prison. You're putting yourself in a self-imposed prison when you maintain the status quo. When you get on the journey that is planet Earth and ride with us on this journey that we're all taking with technology, humanity, just the different things that are happening in our world, both good and bad, wars, things like that, it all has a purpose. And I think when we're on this journey, we learn from that journey. That's a perfect destination too. And I think that's where we're at. I think that if we had to say someday when we die, that we were still dying, we died so while we're still on the journey, that's why I would like to die. I would like to die in a way where I still have unfinished business and I was about to complete it, rather than I've done everything I could possibly do and it's over, kind of a thing. That's just me. I'm not saying it's perfect or not for everybody else, but I feel like if I die, I still want to have unfulfilled things that I have yet to do. And I'd hope other people would then be inspired to do those things that I started to keep doing. That's why Hope Service MVP becomes. I'm not trying to do it for me. I'm doing it to help contractors and service professionals communicate higher value. But I hope that no matter what happens to me, that the journey I've started has inspired other people to pick up the torch and continue that journey. And I think it will. I hope I'm creating a legacy that will continue after I'm gone. I think people who are on that journey just are always going to have fulfillment, because the next day is always like, I can't wait to get going because I still have things I have to do today. Make sense? If I don't have anything to do today, those are the worst days of our life. The day we say these two words, I'm bored. Ugh, I can't even imagine having that kind of a day anymore. When I was younger, I used to have those days though. Like, I'm bored. Not anymore. I can't even understand the words I'm bored. It doesn't even make sense to me.
But you know what? I said those words once to my parents, mm-hmm. and I have never been put to work faster. I learned to never, ever say I'm bored to my parents again, because I had to clean out the entire garage. It was awful.
Yes. With a toothbrush. Exactly. Wait a second, they got garages in Canada?
Yeah, they're attached to our house because it's attached to the igloo. So you're looking at the igloo and you got the dome, and then there's that little U right at the very beginning. Yeah, that's our garage. No. kidding. Most of our garages, yeah, where the dogs sleep. So especially when it's cold like it is right now. All right, random question generator brought to you by On Purpose Media, where we had nothing funny to or witty to write. Actually, that's a lie. She wrote it just now. Home of marketing titans, Thaddeus and Evan, because Uncle Joe said so. There we go. So Joe, you're familiar with the process of it. We list off, well, we actually don't get to read the questions. Oh, you get to choose. Do you want question 1, 2, or 3?
I'll take 3.
All right, what is the most useless superpower you can think of?
The most useless superpower you can think of.
It's not even the best. I would have liked the best. Yeah, that's an easy one.
I used to do a thing where if you could stump Uncle Joe, you win $100. You might have won $100 because the most useless superpower I could think of would be to, if complaining was a superpower, then I would say that would be the most useless superpower, be complaining about something.
That's funny.
Because instead of complaining, you should start doing something about it. Either change your reality by making a change or changing the person who's causing the problem you're complaining about. So either change the environment that is making you complain, or change your response to that environment, or change the people who are causing that problem for you. Just get away from people who are causing you that complaint. Get away from that environment. Or change the environment or people. Change their mind or change the environment. That's what you have to do. That would be a much more useful superpower.
Probably would be. It probably would be. So.
Complaining just wastes time on things we already know, as opposed to things that would be a solution, would be a much better superpower than a complaining.
Can't change it.
Correct. Complaining itself in a short period of time is where solutions get created. So at what point does complaining become a nuisance, a troublesome thought, a negative place to sit and is no longer serving you?
I think when you stay there, you hit it on the head, right, Evan? If you stay there and all you do is focus on the complaint or whatever it is, waiting in line at the DMV, why do I got to do this? Don't they know who I am? All those kind of things go through your head. And it's either change your environment. All right, I'm going to start looking at my emails and I'm going to text my buddy or whatever and call Evan Hoffman and see how he's doing today. Or I got time. I got plenty of time. I got inventory of time here. Let me do something that's productive and make a Facebook post or whatever kind of thing or something like that you could do. So that's it. So either you participate in the boredom or the complaining, or you move on from it and say, what can I do instead of this? And I think that's where you're at, right? Staying at that complaint is the part that is too much. Here's my formula, I always say, Evan. This is a good subject. By the way, good one. You did a good one, finally.
Finally. Thank God.
Just come on. It's just the break. It's called breaking the stuff. I'm not going to get into that. But nonetheless, here it is. It's like, I even forgot what I was going to say. So you got me on this one. But anyway, no, I think it was going to be a complaint. Recognize the impulse to be negative. Oh, shoot. This happened to me. And you could recognize the impulse. Damn, you got that impulse in your gut that this is bad. And then immediately, here's my formula. You ready for Uncle Joe's formula for that? We write it down. This is a good one for everybody. Recognize the negative impulse you have because you're about to complain about something. And instead, do the complete opposite and compliment the thing that is you're complaining about. So like, for instance, I see Victor Rancourt post something. And I'm like, who the hell does he think he is posting that shit on Facebook? And that's what I think. My negative part of me is, doesn't this guy know who I am? Sales training. Doesn't he know I do sales training? That's when I'm my initial impulse. Then I go on a Facebook, do the opposite. Dude, let me know when it's going to be so I can help you get this forward. It's so amazing that you're taking this on. And then he goes, thanks, Joe. It's so nice. Let me help promote your program. No, you don't got to do that. No, I want to promote it. No, okay, if you want to promote it. So then it's what I found is that when I do the opposite of my impulse, my negative impulse, amazing things take place. That's the moment where you say, I'm going to keep participating in negativity and tell other people how much I hate Victor, or I'm going to say, compliment Victor and tell him how impressed I am that he's creating an empire that he's like Forrest Gump. When he says something, people just follow him for some reason. And I admire that, right? And I tell him that. And when I tell him that, I mean it truthfully. It's actually the truth. I'm not phony about it. I don't tell him I'm negative. Sometimes I will tell him, actually, I had some negativity when I first saw it. But now I realize that was stupid to have negativity because you're doing a great job. And so what I found is when I do that publicly, then it creates more credibility and it comes back my direction about 1,000,000%. Make sense? So recognize negativity with your kids or your, let's say you're a good example. If you have children, your kid does something and you just like, oh my God, I want to beat this kid. That's your first, your first impulse. Be like, that's not even possible in the modern era without getting.
It's the thought that I have about this guy, like constantly.
Thaddeus, him? You want to beat, yeah, beat that guy. Instead, you say, him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give him a hug. And give him a hug instead of beating him, because that's really what they need. He really needs a hug. When he does those things, Evan, that you're going to beat him over, probably he just needs a hug. He would never say it because he can't say it. He doesn't have the possibility to say it. But he really wants to tell you that he needs a hug. That's what he wants. You make sense?
Okay. I'll text his wife next time.
I'm a hugger. I like hugs.
But there you go. Right. See, there you go. He just admitted it. There you go.
Evan said earlier, rising tide raises all ships. When we build each other up and when we come together with a value-added aspect and an abundance mindset. That's the other thing. Read between the lines here, guys. Like, we're like, abundance mindset. There's more than enough to go around.
Well, and it's so easy to sit there and look at a competitor's ad, another HVAC company, another plumbing company, another electrical company. They're ranking above you on Google. They've got more reviews than you on Google. They're running a Facebook ad that you like. They're running Google ads and they're outbidding you on Google ads. They've got billboards up around town and you're just sitting there like, why can't I be like them? Exact same mentality that Joe has, right? How can we elevate ourselves?
You know what shocked that contractor? If that was a contractor, you going into his office and complimenting mm-hmm. him on his marketing. And guess what he would do? I'm going to tell you a formula. Everybody take this on. All the contractors take this lesson right now. This is the lesson of the year. Here we go. You see your competitor do billboards, TV ads, and they're just killing it out there. And you see their trucks are wrapped and everything like that. And instead of grumbling and saying those people suck or come up with some story you're trying to tell yourself because you don't like them, go into that office of that company and go tell them, I'm here, I'm a competitor. I just wanted to come here to compliment the owner of the company and tell him how great of a job he's doing and how much he's inspiring me every day to wake up to try to kick his ass. But I can't keep up with you guys. You guys are amazing. And you do that, and guess what that owner is going to do of that company, that big company? He is going to say, come into my office and let me show you some stuff that I'm doing. He's going to help teach you some of the stuff that he's doing because he likes you. He likes the fact that you have enough humility and vulnerability to walk into his office and compliment him. And he's, I was just like you before. He'll tell you every story that he did to get where he's at. And you will have a treasure trove of a friendship that's going to jettison. That's how all these companies like Dur and Ishmael and those people, that's how they did it. They didn't do it because they're the most brilliant people who invented things. They were had enough vulnerability and humility to find other people to ask questions about and become a student. Makes sense? And I think that's a really great thing. If you see somebody who's your competitor and you hate their guts, that's the first indicator to go in and give them a hug, a verbal hug, not a real hug, maybe just a verbal hug and say, can I just say something? When I saw you redo those trucks and redo that brand and redo those advertisements on TV, I got to tell you something, it bugged the shit out of me because I was envious. But then I realized how amazing of a job you're doing with the marketing, because if it's bugging me, it did the job and you guys are doing a great job with that. And I'll guarantee the owner of that company will then give you his advice and give you the resources you're going to need to grow your company. I guarantee that will happen. Make sense?
To have a Joeism, your ego is not your amigo.
Oh my God, you got it down. You must be reading my new book called What Should We Do, which is going to be coming out in middle of February.
There you go. Hey, at least I got one of
one the, plug,
one plug in there, and also one actual saying like that. Correct.
You're good. You got it right. You did a good one too, Thad. Good job on your part too. You guys two good ones.
You have a book coming out?
A book is called What Should We Do? It is 458 pages, guys. This is not a light duty book.
How long is that, an Audible? I'm just fucking with you.
I tell you, I was in a studio in here in Santa Monica, California. I was in a studio for 3 weeks, 4 days a week, 7 hours a day doing the Audible. It is a complete it's like there's no watered down drivel. This book is a complete manifesto of everything I teach, not watered down, the science of pricing, how to connect, the magic moments, how do you make option sheets, everything, the what should we do, obviously handling objections. If anybody, I tell you what, this is the kind of book that I am so proud to have written. I have Helena Boucher, who ghost wrote Tommy Mello's Home Service Millionaire. She was our writer on this book. We have a PR team that's going to be releasing the information. I'm so proud that we're going to have this at our True Grit Celebration, our escape room training experience in Memphis, Tennessee, in March 5th through the 7th. And I'm so proud to, the week before, on the 24th of February, we're going to have that book released on Audible, on hardcover and paperback. And we are going to, we've already got it set. We're going to hit the Amazon bestseller list, and we're really hoping to get that New York Times bestseller tag. Of course, I need everybody's here help to get there. But I tell you one thing, guys, this is not watered down. Here's how good it is. When I listen to my Audible, I'm like, holy cow, I'm coaching myself right now. I can't believe how good this is. So I'm self-critical. Like, when I do something, I don't brag about it. But I'm telling you, when I'm listening to the Audible on this thing, I'm like, man, that was good. I got to start doing that today. Like, I got to start getting back to this shit again today. And that's how good it is. So I really am. I'm proud of it. And I hope everybody does take an opportunity. If you come to True Grit, you're going to get an autographed copy with me and a photograph with me for free. It's going to be included. And you'll have that experience with you and your team. Bring your whole team, because that's what it is, a team training event where everybody can learn and then learn something on stage and go in there and do puzzles and activities and questions and things like that to get through the escape rooms. Don't worry, nobody will get stuck in an escape room. We will let you out eventually. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And it'll probably be a bourbon or a cigar at the end of it some evening, where we can all have fun and laugh, and like we always do at the events. Everybody who goes to those events, we all know that it's the most fun thing that we do, is get together with each other as people. Because really one thing is, you could say, guys, is the people I've met through introductions like you and Thaddeus, Evan, and the people that we commonly see together, it's just nothing but good times. And it's like we're walking on air when we go to those events, and it's effortless. So I would definitely invite everybody to come to that. You go to service MVP/True Grit, True-Grit, go there. Just go to Service MVP and you hit it'll say the True Grit button will be at the top of servicemvp.com. You're going to get your free copy of the book, and you're going to be able to meet me and a bunch of people. I'm going to try and get people like Victor, Jason Walker, other people to be there. So we're going to have dignitaries and other people there as well to help facilitate some of the training. So it's going to be really great. It's going to be an amazing event. Unlike any other where you just sit in a chair and listen to speakers, you, the participants, are the star of the show. So bring your team, your office team, your leadership team, your field staff team, and have some fun. That's what we're going to do.
I couldn't have plugged your event better than you. The last one that I will say, if you do have any questions, hit up joe@servicemvp.com.
And to get on the pre-order list for the book.
Oh, if you want to get on the pre-order list for the What Should We Do book, just email joe@servicemvp.com, joe@servicemvp.com, and just put in the subject book, all capital letters, and I'm going to make a file that all these requests go to, and I'll make sure you get on the wait list. And people who get on the wait list, I will promise you, I will give you a special Uncle Joe touch where you're going to get my personal service at no additional cost because you got on that wait list. So if you get on the wait list, that's my challenge to you. Book, the subject is just got to say book, and just give me your first name and last name and put book on there, and I'll make sure that you get on the wait list and you're alerted when it, and I'll give you my special Uncle Joe training session. It'll be for free, personal to your team. So everybody does that, I'll be happy to do that for you.
Perfect. Love that. Thank you for doing that, because that's a mighty kind offer to be able to spread the value and the goodwill to others. And that's quite honestly one of the things that I really like about what you do and how you show up on social media, is that you lead with value, and you lead with value first. It's the Gary Vaynerchuk way, jab, right hook, or however many jabs you want to do in advance. You tend to do 7 to 10 jabs before you lead with the value, but again, this is a great way to do it. Super happy that you're taking the time to be with us, to be able to provide value to our listeners and to provide value to everyone. So I just want to say thank you for doing what you do, because it does not go unnoticed with individuals who pick up on those sorts of things. And we're not the only ones who notice that either. So thank you for doing all that you do.
I hate to make it a thank you fest, but thank you both for the effort you make every week to grind it out and have new guests. And I listen to your podcast religiously, whether it's our own team or other people on it. I love the information I put. It's in my car, on my Tesla. I always put it on the speaker and just keep playing the playlist of all your podcasts. I think I'm through almost all of them. So I think every single one of them have value to me, and it makes my brain think bigger too when you guys are doing. So thank you for achieving what you're achieving and doing this for everybody in the industry. I really appreciate that too.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Joe. As we wrap up, we do have one final question here for you, and I wish we would have grabbed the other ones that you said, because we would eliminate them, but we're probably already up against Stacy's quick ability to be able to find that. As much as talking I do to try to buy her time, it probably still won't happen. So Joe, what is one question that you wished people would ask you more, but don't?
Oh, good question. The question I would say is, Joe, can you fix my business? That'd be a question I'd like to hear more of. The truth is, and the answer to that is that, no, I cannot fix your business. But the answer is that you can fix your business, right? That I can help you find the resources where you can fix your business. Obviously, I can only scale so much, Joe Crisera, and fixing everybody's business. But I will tell you that I do know what's broken. If you tell me a problem, I can tell you a definite something that is what's breaking your business, but I can also tell you how to fix it too. That's the superpower I have, not just in sales, but really all parts of the organization, because I've been doing this for so long. Because talk about the AI stuff, Ron Smith, George Brazil, these are my mentors, people like Frank Blau and people like that, who I sat in front of and dressed me down about my prices being too low. That's why I know about profit, because Frank Blau made me acutely aware I'm an idiot, that I didn't ought to charge my service. So basically, these mentors I've gotten, like the person I think has taken the past mentors, like Doc Rusk in Kentucky and people like that, to go way back, right? It's the 70s and 60s even, who I've learned from. And I think that's really the thing that I would say. The question I'd like to say is, I can help fix the business, but really I'm not going to fix the business. Most likely I'm going to help you fix yourself, because you're the thing that has to fix your business, not me. Make sense?
It starts with complaining, right? My team is doing this and it's frustrating. My business is doing this and it's frustrating. I'm frustrated by the fact that I can't train my team to do the things right. And this is where podcasts come in. This is where training like yourself comes in. Being able to lean on these resources to say, I'm not the smartest person in the room and I want to surround myself with experts who are, and lean on the experience that they have. You've been in the industry for so long.
You know the problem is, Evan? People are so, their ego, go back to the ego Thad said. The ego prevents people from saying, can you fix my business? Because they don't want to act like their business is broken. They're living a different reality. The reality is that things aren't working. But like, I just had a client who joined us. One of our premium coaching programs cost $35,000 for the whole year to join the premium leadership office and field program, where we guide your team and we become like your sales manager for your team, right? And he joined the program and he graduated the first group and they had an immediate push, 78% more revenue the first week after they got out of the class. Then I thought it was all good. Then he called me recently and said, Joe, I put a pause on the coaching right now. We're having financial difficulty. How long has that been going on? Oh, for 3 months. 3 months? I said, why didn't you tell me? He's like, I didn't want to make you think we were not doing good. I don't want to make you think we were losers. I said, dude, you're not a loser. Everybody goes through negativity. You got to understand this. I want everybody to know that, listen, you can all act like your business is doing great, but I see you. I see the reality of a business. And I know everybody else knows who is in a business, that it's a day-to-day struggle to keep that nose right above the water, to have those days that are not zero day, like Chris Yano, one of your competitors, former competitor, I would say probably, no zero days. That is something we should all live by, right? But there, sometimes we do have those days and sometimes we do struggle. And guys, don't let your ego get in the way of you going into that successful business that's in your neighborhood and walking in there and telling them, you know what? I really admire the thing I think that's gold today we just talked about is go into your best, the company that's doing the best in your area, and walk in there and tell them that you think that you admire what they're doing and that you think they're doing great and that you'd like to learn more about it. And they will, I guarantee, they will teach you. And if you learn something, even if they don't teach you, you just learn by looking at the environment and the culture when you walk into that office. You learn something there. So don't let your ego stand in the way of getting help, because I don't think it's that people don't think that Joe Crisera could help them. I don't think they feel like they're worthy of the help, or they feel that they're capable of getting it to where they got to go. It makes that they may not feel inside there's a trigger that, but let me just tell you that everybody is capable of it. It's not as hard as you make it sound. Simplicity is one of the highest values I have. How do you take something complex and make it simple? And I think that's what we try to do. So definitely don't hold back. If you have something, ask me and I will show you. And that's truthfully, I have a guy named Ken Baker. If you ever seen him online on Facebook, ask him. I didn't ask for one dime. And I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to dig in and save you. He was like, I'm going bankrupt. Nothing you can do to help me. I said, dude, you're not going to go fucking bankrupt. That's how hard it is to go bankrupt when you have no money. I said, you're not going to go bankrupt. It's a pipe dream. You're trying to pull the plug and get out of this shit. It ain't going to work. I said, you got people calling you with opportunity. That's not going to go away. Even if you shut the thing down, what are you going to do? Tell you to go to Safeway and hide from your customers? They're going to ask you to do business. I said, so dude, that's not happening unless you sell the place, okay? And you can't sell it where it's at right now. So we need to fix this thing. It can't be fixed. I said, we're going to fix it. Ask him where he's at today. Ask him where he's at today. 3 months later, from holy shit, I'm closing this thing down, to I can't believe I didn't see the light right in front of me. He said, the answer has been in front of me the entire time. I was just sitting right on top of the answer. That's how close everybody is to what they need. And I would include everybody, whether you run a website, a company that does marketing websites, I'll tell you what's wrong with the business. You tell me what the problem is, I'll tell you what the solution would be. Make sense? Any business at all, you got a maid service, you got a, what do you call it, pipe plumbing, drain cleaning, whatever it is. I know this good enough now where it's like I can surf on the answer. I know the answer is certainty with what the solution is. Make sense? But don't let your ego get in the way of asking for a solution, because definitely the solutions are out there. And the people who are most successful, they don't have that ego right now when they're in that moment where they're vulnerable. They want to learn. And then, of course, they sometimes grow into egomaniacs and narcissists and stuff like that. But that's okay. That's because now you've earned it, right? You deserve that at that point. That's all I wanted to say about that.
No, you're bang on. And it's funny, we're in a course right now with John Maxwell and doing some leadership training with him. And one quote that I've always remembered from him from when I was selling Cutco knives 15 years ago is, leaders are dealers of hope. And for you to show up like that for Ken and let him know, no, you're not closing your doors, and to say that with conviction and certainty, had him buy into it. And like you said, it's 1 millimeter away more often than not.
Yeah, if you're almost at the top. If you're going to quit, you got America's Service Coach is going to help you, and you're going to quit now. This is the best time. It's the best time to stay, right? What are you talking about? And so he did it. And truthfully, I'm really proud of him. It's like I'm so proud of his success, and I don't take credit for it. I'm just saying the biggest move was that he was willing to accept that help. That was it.
And to have someone that was in his corner, have someone that's in his corner that believes in him. Sometimes that's really all it is, to say, no, this is possible. It is here for you. This is the opportunity. It just needs you to step up and go out and get it. And we're going to help you do that. And we're going to show you the how, but you have to show up with the what and the why.
Great, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Joe.
And until next time, cheers.
Well, that's a wrap on another episode of HVAC Success Secrets Revealed. Before you go, two quick things. First off, join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/HVAC Revealed. The other thing, if you took one tiny bit of information out of this show, no matter how big, no matter how small, all we ask is for you to introduce this to one person in your contacts list. That's it. That's all. One person. So they too can unleash the ultimate HVAC business. Until next time, cheers.